Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News. It's a Thursday, and that means it's Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, let's start with the U.S. election. First of all, the RAND showing a little bit of post-election strength today, dropped by about 2% on that announcement.
Yeah, it certainly did. I mean, as the data was coming through yesterday, the RAND weakened out quite markedly, trading around 1780 odd at one point yesterday. It's come back a fair bit today, and more than RAND moving yesterday, it was the dollar moving. We saw massive inflows into the dollar, and that as sort of the safe haven status. The world is worried. What do? You buy dollars. And then overnight, the world kind of thought, well, hang on a sec, maybe we're not quite so sure what we're worried about, and kind of normalcy has returned. And the RAND's actually strong on the week. It was trading around 1770 at the beginning of the week, so some 20 cents stronger over the week so far.
And the American markets, though, were really pumping iron. I mean, you had to look at all of the major indices, and they were up.
Yeah, absolutely. S&P 500, Dow Jones, NASDAQ 100, all closing at all-time highs yesterday. This really is the sense that the view of Donald Trump will be a market-friendly president. He won't put too much restrictions in place. There won't be too much anti-competitive issues coming through. He's already suggested that Lina Khan from the FTC should be removed, and just a general easier environment for U.S. Markets. And truthfully, we're seeing a follow-through. We've got our own market green today, and much of global markets are also trading green. Bit of exception across in Asia, the UK, but otherwise broadly a green day across the world.
But generally, Simon, in every single central bank boardroom around the world, the discussion now must be about inflation and also global trade disruption. He's been very, very combative on the whole tariff issue.
You're 100% right, Jeremy, and that is the conversation. Now, the central bankers will be talking about it. They will respond that, of course, we talk around lots of potential risks on the horizon, but that they will respond to the data. In other words, we're not going to see the FOMC later this evening at the Federal Reserve pause on their rate-cutting cycle. They will wait for data. I think there's another point to it as well, which Trump says a lot. And if we now have his first term, which we can use as some guidance. And there's a lot of what he says. There's not a lot of what he does. In other words, is he going to put 60% tariffs on China? Is he going to put 10% tariffs across the board? Is he going to do half of the things which he has promised that he would? Evidence says no, but we need to be caught to temper that with some caution as well, is that obviously he's going to have advisors and people talking to him. And we truthfully aren't sure what will happen in 10 weeks' time when he takes over. He's not someone who we can look back at a career of voting on important issues. He's not someone who we can look back at his first term, for example, and get good trends of what he truly believes in and or wants to try and achieve with his second term. So at this point, it's just uncertainty.
Simon, just explain the gold conundrum to me if we can. Normally, gold is seen as a safe haven, yet yesterday, spot gold falling by almost 3%. There has been a recovery today, but was this driven entirely by dollar strength?
Jeremy, that is the only thing that I can make sense of. I agree with you. I scratch my head in it. You would have expected in the fear of yesterday, sure, run to the dollar, but also run to gold. I think, if anything, the Trump presidency probably enhances the case for gold, not so much around Trump directly, but the central bankers who have been buying gold. Think of India, China, Russia, Turkey. They've been buying it around concerns of weaponization of the U.S. dollar, which really was shown in full strength with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. That probably is actually now heightened and has renewed concerns for those central bankers. So if anything, the case for gold is stronger. I think there was just such a swarm into the US dollar that folks were also selling gold in order to sort of get to that mad rush to the dollar. You mentioned slight recovery today, but not to the degree that we've seen sort of money now flowing out of the dollar.
Let's look at a couple of company items if we can. We are all aware of the crisis on the Mozambique-South Africa border. The Lebombo border post has been closed. I see that Grindrod now, which runs operations, port operations in both Maputo and Matola, has now suspended operations. And not unsurprisingly, its share price down by almost 4% today.
Yeah, stock under pressure. It's no surprise that they have suspended. They were probably not doing very much work, particularly in the Maputo port. We certainly saw videos coming out during the course of the week around mass protests there. Of course, the Mozambican government has now largely shut down internet access, as I understand. My sense is that this is probably not going to last very long, and it will be a immediate short-term hit to Grindrod, but I don't think it's going to be material in their life, with the proviso that, you know, this may be lost a week or so. If it drags on, which I don't expect, then it could become complicated for them. But in the meantime, this is just them, you know, being responsible, being careful.
Now, Simon, like all of us, you like a fine frock and a silky blouse. And I see that Truworths today reporting a 2.8% increase in sales, but also notes, and here's the sting, the trading conditions in South Africa remain challenging, but that can be said of all retailers.
Yeah, well, Jeremy, you and I have obviously been wearing last year's frock, because the South African market up 0.2% is politely an abysmal update. You know, if we assume that there's been some store footprint growth as well, and there's been some inflation in the clothing realm, I mean, this technically on a volume basis is probably around a 5 to 10% decrease in terms of absolute volumes. The market is not liking it. We've seen. And maybe it is where they position themselves. We've seen an update from Pepkor that looked really nice earlier in the week. There was a write down which wasn't explained, but aside from that, on the sales front, was looking good. We've seen coming through from Mr. Price. They, of course, also in the lower end like Pepkor. They were looking fairly decent. I thought this was a surprisingly weak update, and the market is voting accordingly. Stock off some 4% today.
Simon, how closely do you follow AVI's share price? I see that it hit a year high. The share is back a bit today, down by just over 1%, 112 odd rand. But why is, and it kind of the consensus view is that it is a buy. What's your reading of the company?
So we came back to fish, Jeremy. I knew far too much about fish last week, and I gained this week.
We love a good fish report on this show, Simon. We own the fish market here.
Yeah. Norway and Russia have cut back on their hake allocations for the year ahead, and INJ sells hake and exports hake, so they haven't had a cutback in allocation, so expectations of demand and price increases. But that's more recent news. That's just come out in the last couple of days. AVI, if we look at the food producers, and into that you could throw Rhodes, Libstar, Tiger Brands as well, during the last couple of years when it's been really, really tough, AVI has done what management at AVI always does. They protect margins. In other words, they won't squeeze their margins to make the product a little bit cheaper for consumer. It does mean that they lose some volume, because the consumer simply says, that's expensive, I'm going to go and buy those cheaper biscuits or whatever the case may be. And that hurts them on volumes, but helps them on profitability. But what that does mean is that as we start to come out the other side, the others who've cut margins now are in a quandary. They need to put their price up, and how's the consumer going to respond to that? Whereas the shopper's like, well, I wasn't buying AVI because it's expensive. I'm feeling a little bit richer. Let me treat myself. So by protecting margins, when consumers come back, they get the volume uplift and they never lost the margins.
Simon, I would love to continue this conversation, but I've got to put my fish cakes in the air fryer. So until next Thursday, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Simon Brown from Just One Lap.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.